Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to remind you that as you're making your travel plans, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline affiliate where you can name your own price on hotels, rental cars, airline tickets, and even more. Or choose from great published specials. The good part is that if you go through JohnnyDollarAir.com and you find a deal you like, part of your purchase price goes to support the show at no additional cost to you. So remember, JohnnyDollarAir.com. Now it's time for that man with the action-packed expense account in The Indestructible Mock Matter, Part 5.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Randy Singer, Johnny. How you feeling?
Thanks to you and having got me here, pretty good.
Bellevue's a good hospital.
I'll be released within the hour. So will Mike Flynn.
And?
I'm going down to the Glad Hand Rescue Mission to straighten out a few things with Daddy Bill.
Sounds to me like it ought to be police business, Johnny. I'll be right over.
No, no, let me handle this alone.
You got your gun?
You bet your sweet life I have.
Johnny?
I'll report to you later.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location New York City, to the Lakeside Life and Casualty Company. Following is an accounting of expenditures incurred during my investigation of the Indestructible Mike matter. Item 16, 190, cab fare for Mike Flynn and myself, Bellevue Hospital to the dingy Hotel Brakely. Both of us had our heads still swathed in bandages. With the help of the room clerk, I installed Mike in a small room on the fifth floor, with instructions to keep his door locked. In my own room, room 203, I picked up my .38 and donned the old clothes I'd bought. Item 17, 55 cents, taxi to the neighborhood of the Glad Hand Rescue Mission. For obvious reasons, I walked the last couple of blocks. When I got there, the big front assembly room was empty. So was the soup kitchen in the back of the place. I called Daddy Bill's name a couple of times and got no answer. And finally decided to wait for him in the little room back of the assembly hall that he used for an office. I still felt a little shaky from the blow on the head, so I didn't mind just sitting a while. But I left the door open a crack, and a few minutes later heard the street door open. It wasn't Daddy Bill, but I recognized him as a newcomer to the mission whom I'd seen on my first visit. He made directly for the little office.
All ready, Daddy. Why, you ain't Daddy Bill, sir.
No. Do you know where he is?
Yeah, out shopping. At least that's where he said he was going.
Didn't I see you in here the other day?
Why, yes, sir. I guess you did. My name's Emery. I just reared the rods in from Ohio. Boy, I got myself in a jam back at it. Yeah, I guess I just got me too much muscle. But they won't catch up with me here. Daddy Bill promised me that. Say, I should have known you wasn't him in here.
Oh?
Sure, he said he wouldn't be back for another hour.
You plan to wait for him?
Sure do. He promised me a job. With money on it. Enough money, he said, to get clear out of the country. And he'd help me do it.
Doesn't it strike you funny, Bud, that a guy running a place like this would help you skip the country?
Man, when you're like me and you get a helping hand, you just don't ask no questions. You see Mike?
Mike Flynn?
Yeah, he come back?
No, why?
Daddy Bill left me a package for him. For him or Johnny if they come back here.
Well, I'm Johnny.
Well, here, I'll get it. It's right outside the door here. Yes, sir, liquor, he said. And maybe you let me have some. Here, see?
I'll take it. Liquor, did you say?
That's what he said. Let's open, huh?
No, no, hands off.
Well, look here, man. Old Mike always shares his stuff with Lefty Skillman.
Lefty Skillman. It was Lefty who'd run us down with a truck whose body was found in the river. Lefty, one of Daddy Bill's poor unfortunates here at the Mission. Things were beginning to add up, and this package left for Mike and me. Liquor, he said. But it didn't gurgle. Emery, listen to me.
Sure, Johnny, but
forget this package. I'm taking it with me back to the Waldorf.
Waldorf?
Yeah, that's right. That's where I'm staying. Don't let these clothes fool you.
I thought there was something funny about you, the way you talk so fine. You a dick?
Never mind. If Dandy Bill wants me, that's where I'll be. Old Mikey won't find, because I got him in room 203 at the Brakely Hotel.
Room 203?
Forget it. He's still recovering from that accident. Shouldn't be disturbed. He's all doped up anyway. That's why I took him to the Brakely, where nobody will find him.
Yeah, room
I said, forget about that room 203. If Daddy Bill wants me, tell him to call me at the Waldorf. Item 18, 10 cents, phone call from a booth in the street to Sergeant Randy Singer. Item 19, $5 even for a fast but gentle taxi ride to the 18th precinct, where Randy had promised to have the lab boys alerted for me.
Oh, is this it, Johnny?
Yeah, and handle it softly, please.
Okay, okay. You gonna stick around
until the lab? No, I'm going back to the Brakely to make sure Mike is all right.
Yeah, now look here, Johnny.
Call the Waldorf for me. Get me registered there. Instruct the desk that if there are any calls for me, I'm eating lunch or something, and I'll be back in my room in, say, an hour.
Bye.
Do it. I'll see you later. Item 19, taxi back to the Brakely Hotel, to the service entrance in the alley. For $5, the freight elevator operator swore he'd tell no one he'd seen me take the back stairs to room 203, my room, not Mike's, as I told Emery at the Mission.
Office?
Room clerk?
That's right.
This is Johnny Dollar in 203.
Oh, yes. Are you still working on
now, listen,
that case?
Listen carefully. If the police call me, put them through.
Very well.
But to anyone else who calls or comes looking for me, I'm not here. I never was here. You never heard of me. Understand?
Oh, yes, indeed, Mr. Dollar. We've worked with police and private investigators before.
Okay, but if anybody wants to know about Mike Flynn, I want...
Flynn?
Yeah, the old bum I had you put in the room up on the fifth floor.
Oh, yes.
If anybody asks for him, tell him he's in this room, 203.
Oh, very well.
You sure you got that straight?
Yes, sir.
Time was on my side, I hoped. Emery back at the Mission had said Daddy Bill wouldn't return for an hour, but I couldn't be sure. As quickly as I could, I spilled a half bottle of whiskey around the room in the hope it would give the effect old Mike was there. Then I pulled down all the shades and drew the drapes tight across the windows. I turned down the bed and mussed up the covers so it would be ready for me. My watch said I still had time to kill, so I ran upstairs to Mike's room on the fifth, then carrying a fifth.
God bless my soul, Johnny. And look what you've brought me.
On one condition, Mike.
Oh, yes. Oh, anything you say. Oh, you've been so good to me.
I want you to promise that no matter what happens, you'll stay right here in this room until I come back.
Why, of course, Johnny. Of course, anything you say. Especially now that you brought me this bottle to kind of keep me company. Say, wouldn't you like a little nip before you go?
No, no, thanks. Oh, and keep this door locked.
Oh, now you sure you wouldn't like just one little
bit? No.
Oh, I hate to think of me having it all alone when you probably need it as much as I do. Now. Oh, say, Johnny.
Yeah?
When are you and I going to be able to take these awful-looking bandages off our heads?
We'll talk about that later. I got to get back to my room.
Yeah, now you sure I can't tempt
I'm
you?
I'm sure. Now lock this door.
All right, Johnny. But if you decide you want a little nip with me...
Quickly and quietly, I went back downstairs to 203 and cautiously let myself in, leaving the door unlocked. Nobody'd been there. I'd made it in time. But now all I could do was wait.
Johnny?
Oh, yeah, Randy. Better make it fast.
Oh, what's the matter?
What'd you call about?
That pretty little package you dropped off for the lab lads?
Yeah?
You sure were right about it.
A bomb, huh?
If you or Mike had opened that package by now, you'd be spread all over the island in tiny little pieces. Look, Johnny, come on, let me in on it, huh? What are you up to down there?
I'll tell you when it's all over. That is, if what I think is going to happen does happen.
You sure you don't want some help?
No, I think I can... Gotta go. I'd heard footsteps out in the hall. Quickly, I slid into the bed, leaving nothing but my heavily bandaged head showing. The footsteps passed. And then, far down the corridor, I heard a door open and close. I lay still and waited. Lying there thinking, I began to wonder if I'd been right in turning down Randy's offer of help. Yet how could he help with him? Footsteps again. And this time they stopped outside my door.
It's all clear out here in the hall.
That voice was Daddy Bill's, and he wasn't alone.
Mike? Mike?
You want on the light?
Mike?
Oh, he's in here all right. Smell that booze?
He's there on the bed asleep.
You mean drunk?
Close the door. Hey, Sam, dead to the world.
Are you sure this is going to be safe, Dutchie?
Why do you suppose I took so long to case the jury?
Yeah, but what about Dollar?
I told you, Bill, at the Waldorf.
You sure? You talked to him?
No, he was in the coffee shop. Now shut up, get this over with.
Yes. Always we do the dirty work for you.
All right, this one I'll do myself.
Shut up.
Johnny. Oh, Johnny.
Wait a minute, that's Mike. And who's on that bed? Shut up. All right, Dollar. He can get up out of that bed and take it in the chest or lay there and get it in the back.
All right, Cosgrave. Dutchie.
Both hands up high. Drop that gun.
Sure.
Johnny.
Shut him up out there, Bill.
Yeah, Daddy Bill.
Quiet, Dollar.
You'd better do something, Cosgrave. You have two witnesses. The man who always kept his skirts clean, huh?
Quiet. Bill, let him in. We'll knock them both off, make it look like a fight between them. Something...
No, wait. Boss, we...
Johnny, is something... I'm coming in.
Oh, no, you...
Get back, Mike! Get Randy.
Hey, you're real rough, aren't you? Now, wait a minute there, Mike. Get up off his chest. I want to see what your dear friend Daddy Bill looks like.
Oh, shit.
What'd you hit him with, anyway?
Oh, dear. The poor bottle's all broken.
Best thing could happen to you, Mike.
Well, this is Dutchie Gordon, alias J. Wesley Cosgrave.
He won't be for long.
What? Well, what's that, Daddy Bill? You feeling better?
He always hung it on somebody else.
What are you talking about?
Lefty, Shorty, all of them. This one he'd have hung on me. Well, not this time.
That gun.
Look out! Thanks! Put it down!
Randy?
Cosgrave, dead as a doornail. And when Daddy Bill comes to after that sock on the chin, you can tell him he's cooked his own goose.
My.
The world will be a bit better without Dutchie Gordon, alias J. Wesley Cosgrave. And of course, the courts will take care of Daddy Bill Larkin. Plenty. Mike? Indestructible Mike? Well, he'll probably outlive the rest of us. I hope I can get down to see him now and then. Talk over our great adventure together. Expense account total, $1,126.50, which is a lot less than the $50,000 you might have had to pay off on Mike. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's intriguing story.
Next week, the heady romance of moonlight on a lonely beach in Mexico. Moonlight from a killer's moon. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this story. Heard in this week's cast were Howard McNair, Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, Herb Vigran, Alan Reed, and Roy Glenn. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino and Carl Fortina. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
welcome back. Well, I thought this was looking better for a Johnstone written serial, but this one, the ending had a few things that really, really bothered me. The biggest one was why? Why would Johnny not want the police present or the police assisting with the capture? And related to that question, tied directly into it, is what exactly was he planning to do? Johnny got under the covers so that the two would think that he was Mike. And then what? The only reason for not having the police there is to attempt to heighten dramatic tension at the end. In fact, I could imagine him, "No, Randy, you can't come over. That would ruin the dramatic tension." Then the second thing is, how did Randy get there so quick? Did he call from down in the lobby? Made sense when Randy bailed out Johnny in the matter of the medium well done, but here, there was just no way. I mean, even Mark Donovan from The Adventures of Frank Race was never quite that skilled. I think that this had a pretty interesting concept around Indestructible Mike that I think played pretty well early on. This wrap-up was just bizarre. But one thing I will say for the whole serial is that it does start to give Johnny a bigger world of characters. I think as we've listened to Johnny Dollar throughout the series, the character really has had one-shot characters. And you know, every time he goes to New York, he meets with a different inspector of police. He meets with different old friends, different people calling from the insurance companies. Here, we see the case initiated by Pat McCracken. We get Peter Branson, the brother of Harry Branson. And we have Johnny meeting the same police officer from previous stories. The show is starting to have some continuity and some recurring characters, which I think is one of the real strong points of the Johnstone era. And the writing does get better. In fact, there's one he wrote that we'll play in a few weeks that I actually enjoyed quite a bit. But next Friday, or next Monday actually, we'll begin our run of Christmas episodes of Johnny Dollar, which means we'll play those 1955 episodes we skipped over. So, we'll hear Bob Bailey's first actual Christmas with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. All right, well, now let's go ahead and take a listen to our new Carter Brown serial. This one is The Lady Was Lethal.
Carter Brown Mysteries. Adventures in excitement and suspense, based on the best-selling novels by the slick storytelling sensation, Carter Brown.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Carter Brown to introduce another one of my books for you. This story is called The Lady Was Lethal, as my hero, Johnny Eaton, found out. And in finding that out, he also found quite a lot of tension and trouble, which is my cue to quit and let Eaton carry on.
Hated the place. The business had taken me there more than once. Now it had taken me there again. It was large, high, and cold. But then, death is always cold. I hated the hollow ring your steps made on the floor, and the way your voice ricocheted off the walls. The shape which lay shrouded on the table drew my eyes. And there was a dry sensation at the back of my throat as Lieutenant Jorgensen flipped the sheet away.
There he is.
Yeah. That's Hank Williams, all right.
That's all you got to say?
What do you want me to say? Happy birthday?
He was your partner, wasn't he?
He was my partner.
You're a tough guy, aren't you? Johnny Eaton, the man with the poker face. I show you your partner's body and you react like it was a guy you'd never seen before.
You want me to bust out crying? What good would that do, Hank?
You guys have been in partnership for the last 5 years. Always acted like you were the best of pals. You were away in Detroit for 3 weeks on a job. You come back, I tell you Williams is dead.
So?
So I'm wondering, Johnny. Wondering whether you're really tough or just plain scared.
What's that crack supposed to mean?
Let's get out of here and I'll tell you.
Well?
I'm wondering how much you know about why Williams was knocked up. Maybe you're acting like a clam because you figure you'll stay alive that way.
You think I'd be wasting my time, Lieutenant, listening to your yakety-yak if I knew who killed Hank?
Could be. I'll have to keep an eye on you, Johnny. After all, we don't want to lose the other half of the best private eye partnership in town, do we?
No, we don't.
That's your jalopy?
Uh-huh.
New model Buick. Business must be looking up.
We get by. I guess I should say I get by.
Williams didn't have any family.
A sister in Kentucky someplace. She'll have to be told.
What happens to his share of the business?
I get it. His sister gets the rest. The dough in the bank, etc.
You should do all right out of the business.
We both made a will. Whoever went first left his share of the business to the other.
And by good luck, Williams went first.
Jorgensen, there are times when I dislike you more than normally. This is one of those times. As I drove back to the office, the night sky was studded with star points, but their silver twinkle was rivaled by the gleam of garish neon stabbing above the streets. I let myself into the office, started going through Hank's desk, but I knew it was a forlorn hope. There was one thing I hadn't told Lieutenant Jorgensen. I'd come back from Detroit in answer to an urgent wire from Hank. It said he'd cracked something really big and needed my help. The trouble was that Hank was the sort of private dick who never kept notes. He kept everything inside his skull, and that skull was now silent. I was right. There was no hint of what Hank had got onto. And there was so much of him in the office. I had to get out. I needed a drink. It was a honky-tonk. I wasn't feeling like the black tie nightclubs. This dive had a sign outside which spelled the world's most beautiful girls. Inside, the world's most beautiful girls were dancing with sailors, small-time hoods, and suckers. They all looked bored, and most of them chewed gum while they danced. Romantic.
You drink, bud.
Thanks.
Hey, you look kind of gloomy, kiddo. Why don't you cheer up and have a dance? 50 cents a ticket.
Go away.
Well, you don't have to be rude. If you don't want to have any fun, well, okay,
go
but...
splash in the sea.
Oh, now look, there ain't no call to be...
Beat it, babe.
What?
I said beat it.
Oh, well, okay, okay. There's no need to get tough about it.
Dames. Mind if I park?
Suit yourself. If you can find a glass, you can even have a drink.
No, thanks. Cigar?
No, thanks.
You're Johnny Eaton, that right?
Yeah.
I was looking for you.
So, now you've found me.
How much do you want?
For what?
You know what. How much?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Quit stalling, Seamus. Name a price.
Look, let's play a little game. Let's pretend I really don't know what you're talking about. So you tell me, and then if I've got it and it's for sale, I'll name a price.
Okay. I'm talking about the thing your partner, Hank Williams, had. He didn't have it this afternoon. And it wasn't in your office. So he either sent it to you or he parked it someplace and told you where. Now, put a tag on it, Buster. I ain't got all night.
You mean Hank was murdered for this thing, but you couldn't find it?
Sure.
Why, you
dirty...
Don't
start anything. You can't finish, Buster. I've got company.
That little punk propping up the jukebox?
Plenty of good guys have been perforated by a punk.
That's a point.
So, how much?
$40,000.
That's a lot of dough. Maybe it'd be cheaper to have happen to you what happened to your partner.
Will that get you what you're looking for?
Maybe we might sort of persuade you to tell where it is first.
Maybe. $40,000 is the price.
I'll have to find out. Could take a little time. See you tomorrow and tell you. Be in your office.
I'll be there.
Okay, Seamus. Don't do anything foolish, will you? Not like Williams did.
I watched him clamp the cigar in his teeth, signal to the thin little guy, and the two of them walked out. Just then the blonde who'd tried to sell me a dance moved past the table. I called her.
Yeah? What do you want, mister?
I've changed my mind. I'll buy some tickets.
How many?
$10 worth.
Oh, atta boy. Now you're getting hip.
Sit down. Have a drink.
Sure.
Hey, buddy, another glass. Here, Blondie. The $10.
Oh, thanks. Here's your tickets.
Keep them.
What's the big idea?
You've got the $10 and the tickets. So you've just made a $10 profit, right?
Yeah, but...
A glass. Thanks. Remind me to endorse your Emily post-diploma sometime. Here. Give your stomach a shock.
Oh, thanks.
Now, that $10 you just made, that's for information.
Now, what do you want to know, honey?
The big guy who said scram and you scrammed, who is he?
Mister, I think I'd better give you back your $10. You sound like trouble to me.
No, no trouble. I'm just curious. I've been out of town. I don't know anymore who runs with who.
Oh, well, he's Tiny Lavin. I don't know who he works for, but he hangs out in the blues club. Yeah, that's what the name says. All blues and stuff.
Who was the other guy with him?
Oh, he was on his own.
No, it was a little pasty-faced guy by the jukebox.
Oh, that's Babyface Brill. He's a mean character. Well, mister, that get me $10?
Sure does, and thanks.
I'm sure you wouldn't like to dance. I'll give you a dance for free.
Some other time. I gotta be moving. You know, business?
If business means trouble with Tiny Lavin, you won't tell him who told you.
Over my dead body.
With Tiny Lavin, that could be easy.
The Blues Club. A high-class dive. Cloths on the tables. No taxi dancers. A floor show. Six girls were just finishing a routine as I sat down and ordered a drink. They wobbled off the floor and the lights dimmed down to a single spot as a compere breathed one word into the mic.
Chilly.
I thought he was talking about the weather until a dame appeared in the spot. And what a dame. A tall brunette with a figure dreamed up by a perfectionist and then improved on.
Your eyes are blue, your kisses too. I never knew what they could do. Can't believe that you're in love with me.
I listened to her low, husky voice and started to remember things like that Hank was like me. He could be a sucker for a dame. And if Tiny Lavin was tied in with this place and Hank had something Lavin wanted, then it wasn't impossible that Hank had met Chili. As I watched her, I decided it was more than probable that Hank knew her. Chili was the last thing a guy would feel next to Chili. And Hank liked to keep warm more than most guys.
Believe that you're in love. I can't believe that you're in love with me.
She finished her number. They yelled for more, but she just waved and wove off. I called the waiter.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to talk to Chili.
Sir, you stand at the end of a long line of gentlemen with the same ambition.
There's a 5-spot going begging for someone to take it with the message to the lady.
What message, sir?
That I'd like to talk to her about my partner, a guy named Hank Williams.
I'll deliver your message, sir.
I never saw a $5 bill disappear faster from a table and into a pocket. I poured myself another drink, but I'd only had one sip when he was back, with his eyebrows touching his hairline.
Chili will see you.
Don't look so surprised. I'm a guy who makes friends and has influence. The waiter led the way, and as I followed, I was congratulating myself. It looked like I had lighted on a lead at last.
Welcome back. This is a really promising beginning to this Carter Brown serial, with just a great mysterious situation set up really well. Of course, there's a little bit of a shade of Maltese Falcon here, with the partner being killed and the detective not being very demonstrative about his feelings on the matter. But more to come next week. All right, well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback. And Christine had an observation regarding last week's serial, Belladonna Was Poisoned. And she said, I was just listening to this week's episode of the Carter Brown story and thought it was hilarious that the hero is called Rock Stone. It's hilarious because here in Jamaica, Rock Stone is an exclamation of surprise. As in, she did what? Rock Stone! It's just funny to hear someone hear it as someone's name. I guess it'd be like if somebody in the Western United States heard a program where one of the characters was named Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. Well, thanks so much for that insight, Christine. That's one of the great things about having listeners all over the world. You get some sometimes surprising cultural information. Thanks again for sharing. And then we have an email from Melissa who says who had a question about the Great Detectives app and the Dragnet app off of iTunes, and now she has an Android phone, and it's a Galaxy 4S, and I went searching for the app, for my app of the Great Detectives, and I couldn't find one, which is why I'm writing. Is there an app for the Droid-type phones? And I hope there is, as I'm a single mom of three and I don't have the luxury of cable or internet, so Dragnet and the Great Detectives app are really my form of electronic entertainment. When I'm walking to school, I turn them on and listen, as well as when I get home from work. It's my way of relaxing. So to make a long email short, I hope and pray that I'm just savvy enough to know how to get the app, and there is one. And in answer to Melissa's question on that, and for those of you who have Android devices, the Great Detectives app is available, but it's you actually need to get the Amazon App Store onto your phone in order to access it. You get the Amazon App Store, and that's where it is sold, not on the main Android App Store. She says, thanks for putting these shows together. My favorite is Pat Novak. I love the metaphors and the languages used. You don't hear language like that anymore. Well, thanks, on that. I don't know if we ever, heard it quite like they did on Pat Novak, but that's definitely appreciated. And that reminds me that we're only a few weeks away from, our second run through on Pat Novak. So that's going to be fun. And, she says, I hope sometime you will look into doing not necessarily detective, but mystery like The Shadow or Mystery Theater, just a suggestion. Well, The Shadow, I've addressed this before, but The Shadow is one of those series that Radio Spirit has a somewhat dubious copyright. They claim copyright on it. Like I said, I find the claim by them doubtful, just because these programs at that point weren't really covered by federal copyright law. But it's just something that it would not be worth the aggravation, because The Shadow, they've shown, is pretty much the one show that they will consistently go after any website that has it. As for CBS Mystery Theater, that one is almost certainly under copyright. Radio recordings made after February 15th of 1972. Were covered by copyright protections unless they omitted the appropriate notice. So we won't be playing that show. But again, thanks for the suggestions. All right, well, that will do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the lineup. And then join us for yours truly, Johnny Dollar Christmas episode on Monday. And we'll continue on with The Lady is Lethal on Friday. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter or Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.